Take your Bible, Romans chapter 6. To a soul winner, this is a familiar verse. 6:23. And we read it many times. Talks about how man is a sinner, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. We hear that many times. And when you read Romans 6, very elementary. It's very up front. It's saying that it's hot in this room. If you turn that thing on again, we'd probably all appreciate it. But it's very elementary. It's to the fact that it says we at one time were in sin. We, all of us at one time, everything we did was sinful things. But when a person accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, he leaves that he is supposed to leave that kind of living and turn to the right living of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law really didn't mean much to him before he got saved, and there are portions of scriptures where it talks about, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Verse 14, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And that is a big issue today in a lot of churches about they're living, wait a minute, I live in the age of grace. Well, that does not give you the liberty to sin. Are you crazy? You ought to live even greater because you're doing it all for the Lord Jesus Christ now. Paul the Apostle said that the law, the beggarly element to him, it's very hard to live by the law. I've not yet met a person that lived all the Ten Commandments. Of course, Jesus, remember that guy said, I've lived all the commandments. He says, okay, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. Well, I can't do that. I was a very rich man. Went away. Why? Because he had made his riches his idol. And so they broke the law. You'll have no other gods before you. And so when you read Romans chapter 6, very elementary, and it explains to us why that we should live a holy and a godless life. I've entitled this sermon, Let Us Live in Holiness. Holiness is a wonderful word. It's not a bad word. When we are married and we live a holy marriage, that means that we have nothing to do with anybody else except our wife or our husband. We are very careful about even allowing her to think or he to think that we're not satisfied with each other. We're very careful that we never place ourselves in a predicament of opposite sexes, not of our wife or our husband. We're very careful about that. And we all like that. Amen. It's a wonderful thing that a man come on to his wife and realize that she is clean and she is, that you don't have to worry about all this other junk that a lot of people have to worry about. And all God's people ought to say, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And so, when Paul writes this to the church of Rome, he says, now listen. He said, once you get saved, there are some things that definitely take place. And I want to talk to you about this today. One famous U.S. president said, what this country needs is a good 5-cent cigar. You say, what does that have to do with a sermon? It has a lot to do with a sermon. What this country need is not another president or a new set of senators, congressmen, though we're hoping you go out and raise Cain at the polls. What this community needs is a Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-filled preachers who, no matter the cost, who no matter what the outcome, will stand up and speak up from this blessed old book unashamedly and preach it from cover to cover. That's what this country needs. Also, this country needs a Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-filled preacher who, no matter the cost, will line up with what this Word of God teaches. What this country and community needs is a Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-filled Christian who, no matter what cost, would be willing, without compromise, to accept the standards of this Word of God. That'll change our country. Getting a new president does not change our country. You say, oh yeah? Well, then try it. But that's not the principle. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was not because of the evil. It was because there was no righteous people living there. God would have spared the country. You remember Abraham said, but Lord, if there's 100, and then all the way down to 10. And he said, okay, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people. What was the outcome? There wasn't 10 righteous people in that city. And America is being destroyed not because of who our president is, or our vice president is, or senators of Congress and mayors and everything. Our country is destroyed. Is being destroyed because there's not righteous people in this country that will stand up and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. Our churches have turned into rock and roll band practices. Our churches have turned into nightclubs. And if the preacher's not funny, and if they don't have a live band there, they're not going there. Where in the world do you ever find that in the Word of God? The Bible said, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. You say, well, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. I just want to keep preaching to the choir, okay? I just want to keep reminding you, it is a fundamental thing that we keep to preach in the Word of God. Our music is straight. Our doctrine is straight. And that is the way we need to live by. We need the folks that are willing to live righteously and live consecrated lives. Consecrate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Live a pure life. Devote, pious, sanctified. Live lives that are separated and disconnected from this terrible sin, blood-splattered world. We need some people to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to listen to that kind of talk. I'm not going to listen to that kind of joke. I'm not going to look at that. No, I'm not. You can't name a church in America that doesn't have some member in its body that only does what they have to do. All across this country, there are people that they only do what they have to do to get by. There are many churches that want to live by biblical standards of the Word of God, but they have to legislate, listen to me now, but they have to legislate to their congregation a rule book of church policies and standards and rules of conduct. Are you kidding me? We already got one of those. Why do we have to say, hey ladies, dress up. Hey guys, dress up. Hey guys. You shouldn't go there. Hey, people, what in the world are you doing that for? It shouldn't be done. If we would live a godly life, a holy life. Let's be honest. We have some folks who not only do what they are told to do and get by. You know, when we had our school, we're always having a battle. If students did not adhere to the rules and the policy, they're out of school. So they followed the rules, but in their heart there was a rebellion. On the weekend they were different than when they came in at just school. We'd have parents come in dressed like, you know, what are you doing here? Your child can't even wear that kind of stuff. What are you doing? And blatantly and just in your face. They had not, nor would not, develop their own biblical philosophy of standards in faith and practice. Let me illustrate that. When I appeared on the scene at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, I had a roommate that said to me after I lived in that room for about a week, "Shear, if it wouldn't be for your mama, you wouldn't know what you believed." I'm going to say that again. "Shear, if it wasn't for your mama, you wouldn't know what you believe." Because every time something come out, I say, "Well, my mama said." And he finally said, "Who cares what your mama said?" I said, "Wait a minute here. I care what my mama said." And this is what he said: "Why don't you get your Bible down from the shelf and read what the Bible says? And it will come out the same way your mama believed, as it's, I know your mama." That is what's wrong with most Christians today. If they didn't have a pastor, they wouldn't know what they believe. So therefore, it is essential that we have to draw up guidelines from the Word of God to help us on our merry way until we get some common sense to trust and to take the Word of God for its worth and develop guidelines of faith and practice for our own life. Now, please stick with me. I got a lot of young Christians here that have no idea about standards of policy, have no idea about how that we ought to dress and how we ought to act and how we ought to do things. So just hang on with me, some of you old folks. And some of you old folks, you've been doing it so long you don't know why you're doing it. Speaking of rules and conducts, years ago I spoke to Bobby Robertson, who's the pastor of the Walkertown, North Carolina. He was at a youth meeting in a certain city and was sharing the platform with his son Steve. And at the end of the service, the church gave a big announcement that there was a 55-gallon barrel full of CDs and videos and cassettes of music no Christians would be listening to. Did you know there's certain music you should not listen to? For you young ones, yes, there are certain things that you should not be listening to. When Bobby Robertson walked by, he said, I saw literally thousands of dollars of music that was about to be burned. And he said, I just started crying. And I said to myself, where are the moms and dads of these children? Now let me pull over and park a minute. Put my four-way flashing on. Let me tell you, parents, you are not there to trust your children. You are putting that in the capacity of a parent to guard your children and to protect your children. I heard somebody say the other day, "Hey, my parents are getting in my space." Hey, you don't have a space. If it wasn't for your daddy and mama, you wouldn't have a space. So every place in that home is your daddy and mama's responsibility. You better get that thing straight before these little rascals get a little older on you. You just happen to come by and grab their earbud and stick it in your ear and hear what they're listening to. You say, "Oh man, if they start fussing," then they're listening to the wrong stuff. Simple. Real simple. Real simple. And some of you people are about to have babies and you've never had children before. I'm going to tell you something. You better get smart. Because you used to do those things when you were younger. You have a responsibility. Right here, God's Word says, you have the responsibility to raise that children and raise it right. Raise it in the admonition of the Lord. And if you don't, you will stand before a holy God someday and give an account how you raise those children. You know, having a baby is a wonderful experience until they birth, until they're birthed. And then the work begins. I heard some of the guys laughing about one of my friends that had the baby. He said, "Boy, he looks pretty tired lately." Well, what do you expect for a 2 or 3 week old baby? They're there. They didn't ask to be there, but they're going to let you know that they're there. And they will. ruin your day. And they have planned to. They are there to cause you all kinds of trouble. They go potty when they're not supposed to go potty. They cry when they're supposed to be sleeping. They sleep when they're not supposed to be sleeping. You want? I'm telling you, God is my witness. Our first child, every time we got to a restaurant going to sit down and eat, it all broke loose. After we got in the car, he'd go to sleep. What's with that? Lord, are you punishing me for the things I did to my parents?
Yes.
I saw a cartoon the other day that said, oh God, why do I have 10 times worse brought to me compared to what I was to my mother and dad? Is that my mother praying? So it's our responsibility to take care of our children. Nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else can do it. You are perfectly, perfectly, perfectly capable of taking care of your children. It just takes a lot of work. You cannot leave them alone. The Bible says a child left alone brings embarrassment to his father and someone else to his mother. You can't leave them alone. You've got to be always there. We have a lot of things going on in America today. There's a lot of sad things going on in America today because some parents have left their child alone. You are a watchdog. You're supposed to be the mama grizzly bear, amen. You know, mama grizzly bear, she don't leave those little cubs alone. And see what happens if you try to mess with one of those cubs. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You ought to write that in the back of your Bibles, Mama. Proverbs 29:15. God have mercy on Heritage Baptist Church that we have to legislate by a handbook to dress and to live a clean and separate life before our community. That sure seemed pretty bad. You already got the book. God have mercy at Heritage Baptist Church. We have to legislate a rule of conduct instead of getting it straight from the Bible. God have mercy at Heritage Baptist Church that we have to legislate and not have the intestinal fortitude to live, to walk, and to think the Holy Bible way. Don't tell me that Heritage Baptist Church doesn't get spiritual preaching. If you look at your calendar, look at your book, and see all the preachers we bring in here all the time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. We are preached at from this blessed book every week. In conjunction with that, hardly a month goes by without some guest preacher, some missionary, some evangelist graces our pulpit and preaches the Word of God. Don't tell me that we're not getting to see spiritual living up close. We have godly people throughout our congregation that have a desire to serve the Lord, not themselves, but to serve the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. Don't tell me that we're not getting to see spiritual Christians in action. We have the roads that have got rough for people in our community of our church, which seem to happen a lot around here. Look around and see men taking the initiative to pray and asking God to help them and help others. There's a lot of things going on in this world. In this church, the heartaches and the sorrows that happen here all the time. You have godly people to look at. May I remind you that our country is not in trouble because of the corruption of the government. Our country is not in trouble because of the leadership in the White House. Our country is not in trouble because of the evil and scandals of our congressmen. Our country is in trouble because Christians are not willing to live by the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. This is what Heritage Baptist Church is all about. This Bible right here. Not man's creeds, but the Word of God. I want you just for a few minutes, I want you to look at the life of Nehemiah. because of the sin of Israel, he was taken into captivity. He had become the King Artaxerxes' cupbearer instead of a priest that God had called him to be. He was in line to be a priest. He was in line to be with Israel as a priest, but he could not keep that because of the sins of Israel. He lost his opportunity to be a priest. That was a huge thing. Instead of being a priest, he was an enslaved person. In it all, the Holy Spirit made him to realize that he personally had sinned before the Holy God of Israel also. And though he could not serve as a priest for the community of Israel, you know, there's a lot of people like that say, well, I can't do that anymore. And they gripe and complain and miss out on what God really had for them in their life. Spoke about that this morning about Simeon in the Bible. Simeon in the Bible is an old man. He was a righteous man. And his job, this is his job, to see the Lord's Christ and prophesy in the temple and say, this is the Messiah. And he said, Lord, after he prophesied, Lord, hey, I'm done. That's all he had to do in his life. Some of you people, the thing that you think is the most important thing in your life will probably not be the most important thing of your life. The thing of your life may be just being faithful. Just showing up. Just being there. Maybe it's raising a child or raising a few children. That may be the only thing God wanted you to do. I fought and fought and fought with a man that used to go to our church, and he wanted so bad to be a pastor, and I told him, I says, I don't think you're qualified being a pastor. I didn't like that. That was really nice. He didn't like that a bit. But I said, you know what? If you would take that energy that you just so badly want to be a pastor and put into your children to raise good children, maybe God will call one of your children to be a pastor that you can't be. He liked that a bit. But after a while, he must have prayed about it. Two sons are pastors. One of his daughters is a pastor's wife now. The greatest thing that man ever did was raise some children right. You say, but boy, I want to be. No, wait a minute. In a Christian life, the universe does not circle around you or me. The Christian life circles around Jesus Christ. And what can be best for the cause of Christ, what can be cause for the kingdom, is the most important thing of our life. It's not how many toys we can amass. It's not what kind of job we can have. It's what have I done for the Lord Jesus Christ? I was listening to a radio preacher, and he said this. He said, you know, some people think that the more money they can amass and all that thing, he says, you know what? That doesn't make a real Christian. A real Christian may be, a real Christian is one who may take a lesser paying job so that he'll be faithful to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have pastored this church for over 32 years. I have heard more people say, oh, pastor, we're moving to such and such because there's a better paying job. Or, I can get a better promotion. And ladies and gentlemen, I get letters and I get phone calls from people that are now out of church. They've lost their family, or they lost their wife, or they lost their husband. They've lost their children. They're doing nothing for God because they wanted to move get a place for better promotion and better money. It doesn't work. God doesn't say you're spiritual because you have a lot of money. In fact, the Lord Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven. You know what they say? A rich man can trust God. A poor man has to. There's more to life than having all the toys. Because once you have all the toys, you always worry about somebody stealing your toys or wrecking your toys or taking your toys. If you don't believe that, go to the nursery tonight. Just put one truck in there. And somebody's going to own it. Others are going to have teeth marks. Listen to the prayer. Listen to this man's prayer. He was willing to accept the act of his forefathers. He was willing to keep who were not willing to keep the Sabbath, as well as many other sins against them. He begged God to forgive him. And in this life, a guy named Nehemiah, he was willing to do what God had for him to do. Did you ever think about Daniel? Daniel was a brilliant man. And all the things he had to go through. He was a man that always had a good spirit about him. He was a man that always was willing to say, yes, sir. Hey, walk around and see people who have been asked to do things and they grumble, complain about it. This man had a good attitude. Christianity has a good attitude. No matter what God wants you to do, go and do it, amen, happily. Well, listen to Nehemiah. Listen to his prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, if you look in your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine ear open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. By the way, our forefathers sinned. Our country's in trouble today because of the lack of salt and the holy living. This country is in trouble because of our churches. America's in trouble because of our preachers. The country's in trouble because the people that sit in the pews and churches all across America do nothing. They don't think they have to live for God. Hey, let's miss church today. We don't have to go to church today. Hey, there's a football game going on. Man, we got to watch that. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Who won the year before? Who gives a flippin' rip? But oh, we'll stay home from church. I remember one year, our nursery was right here. Our church was back here, and there was a plastic deal back here. And I thought I heard cheering going on. After the service, I seen Bob Poliquin and his wife come out of the service, out of the nursery. They were working that night. And I said, Bob, you working? Yeah. I said, you working in the nursery? He was the captain of the Air Force. He was a missile. I said, you were working in the nursery? Yeah. I said, what were you? He said, man, it's Super Bowl, and I brought my TV with me. Whatever. Yeah, that happened at Heritage Baptist Church. David Wall, don't stand there and go. Oh, I can just... Boy, we're going to get to do this. People are watching you. They're watching you. Every step you make, whether you like it or not, they've got a magnifying glass and they're watching you. They're seeing what you do. How important is your church to you? Dale Moody used to say, It is yet to be seen what one man could do for the cause of God who is totally committed to the Holy Spirit. It's yet to see that. Somebody better enlist as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Somebody better enlist as a soldier of the cross. Somebody ought to be preparing for better. Somebody better begin to commit their life to the Holy Spirit of God. Without a doubt, there is no question the Holy Spirit, we clearly show what sin is. To the child of God, the Holy Spirit will make you know the sins of your mind. Every time I get down, I said, "Dear God, is there some place, somewhere I've sinned? Lord, show me." Boom! Hey, God, the Holy Spirit is not embarrassed about telling you who you really are. There's not a person in this world, there's not a person in this building today that does not, when they get on their knees before God, all alone, just between you and God, there's no goofing around there. There's no laughing or joking or anything. When you look and you fall on your face before God and say, "Dear God, Holy Spirit, work in my heart and my life. If there's anything in my heart and my life that is displeasing to you, you show it to me." I'll guarantee you show it. But most of us jump up and say, "Whoa, I got enough of that." That's enough of that. We don't stay long enough. We don't stay down long enough to get the picture. He said, "Preacher, I didn't come here for this. I didn't know you're coming. This is a sermon I prepared. Prepared it Wednesday." Don't be so proud to think the preacher's going to preach at you. He spent special time just for you to preach at you. Because most preachers don't think you're going to come anyway. So what good would it be to plan to preach at you? But bless God, if the red or the green dot's on you, take a shot. Amen. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys smile and know exactly what I'm talking about. God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual gifts. And listen to this. God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. All of you know your spiritual condition. There's not a one person in there. You may try to fake it, and you may try to bluff your way, but I'll guarantee you, if you will be very honest, I mean honest, and get on your face before God, I'll guarantee you, He'll show you your spiritual condition. And it doesn't look good. "Well, I don't want to do that." Get out of your comfort zone. Take God at His word. Quit fooling around. Take your stand for God. "Well, I'm just afraid what people might think." Don't you ever wonder, aren't you afraid what God thinks? "Well, I just don't want people to pick on me." They're going to pick on you anyway. For the most part, you're an idiot. The Bible says that we're peculiar people. And I'm finding there's a lot of weird people too. Where do you stack up with this? Romans chapter 6, verse 16. You ought to look at it. You should have your Bible open to that. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." I'll take obey to righteousness. I don't like death. I don't like death at all. It's the greatest enemy to mankind. I have a deal on my phone that any time a law officer is killed in line of duty death, it comes up on my phone. I didn't like that the other day when two deputies were killed. Just brought back some bad memories. I don't like death. So why would I want to live in death? Why would I want to live with a death warrant on me instead of living for God? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, well, I don't like that. Well, do you like the fact if you die today, you go to heaven? I'd raise all four paws if I could get them off without falling down. Amen. Well, of course I like knowing I'm going to heaven. Well, the Bible says, and Paul writes, he said, I beseech, that's a strong, he's screaming, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body. Our bodies are not our own. It's bought with a price. And since it's reasonable service. Verse 2. You look in there in verse 2. You'll underline some of this in your Bible so you know some of these things. And be not conformed to this world. That has to do with everything you do. How you act. How you react. What you buy. What you don't buy. What you give. What you don't give. I mean, it has to do with everything. Every sphere of your life. And be not conformed to this world. But be transformed by renewing of your what? Mind. It's all up here. This is where it all starts. That guy that shot that police officer in the head the other day with that AR-15 started right up here. That guy that shot those people up in Quebec started right here. And by the way, there can be people in Great Falls, Montana that can have the same stupid thoughts. It all starts here. And as a Christian, we ought to be very careful that we protect this. What we think. Because what we think is what we talk about, and what we talk about is what we normally do. That's why he said, hey, there's got to be a renewing of the mind that ye may prove which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Prove it. You renew your mind that you may prove that it's good. Is that good? Is that good what you're listening to? Is that good what you're thinking about? Is that good what you're reading about? Are there certain things in your life that just, you can't handle it? Is it good? God said you need to renew your mind. There are some people that will stay up all night because their mind is overworking. I just want to ask this. I don't if you want to or not, but how many of you get something in your mind and you mull it over and mull it over and mull it and it really hurts your sleeping? Would you raise your hand? And there are people, listen now, I'm not trying to be funny. There are people in this world that think that they have a certain disease because their mind overworks itself. You don't have a disease. Everybody's got that junk going on in your mind. You all got it going. It's all whirling in there. Have you ever got a chance to look at a hard drive? And how fast it spins? I mean, it's so fast you can't even tell it's spinning. I had an old model that go, how many got a computer like that? Yeah, it's going. It's going. I'll just tell you that much. When you can hear it, you know it's pretty much going. I had one of just vroom, vroom. It's like a 427 with, two fours on it. Vroom, vroom. It was good. Didn't last very long, but almost had to buy new tires for the thing all the time. And there's some people who's got a brain like that. It drives me crazy. That's why you have to renew it. That's That's why you have to, quote unquote, defragment it. That's why you need to say, wait a minute, I'm not going that way. I'm not going to think of that. I'm going to do what the preacher preached about a while back in May. Leave it alone, Dwayne. How many still use that? I used it today. Somebody said to me, I said, just leave it alone, Dwayne. Some things in life, can you control them? Yes or no? Can you control people? No. Now, some of you wives got a lot better job of it than us men do, but let's face it, you cannot control him because he's going to buy that new gun, whether you like it or not. He's going to find a way. Or that motorcycle, or that four-wheeler, or that snowmobile, or that ammunition that you just can't buy and it's a good deal, you know. I'm getting home. I'm getting close to home here, aren't I? Some of the guys go, I haven't told her yet. Can I confess my sins? I moved to Montana. I made a mistake going to Shields. Shields had a 44 Magnum with a 10.5 inch barrel. And it was on sale. And we were broke. So what'd you do? I bought it. Then what'd you do? I took it home. Where'd you put it? I put it in the garage. I'm a married man. I'm the head of my family. I have three sons. And I'm acting like a high school kid. There's a reason for that. But anyway. So one day, coast is clear. Got some bills paid. Bought it in the house. And she said, where'd you get that? And I said, well, I've had it. I said, what do you mean you had it? I said, I've had it. I said, how long? I said, 2 or 3 months. 2 or 3 months. Wasn't that when we were... Yeah. I got rid of that thing. It gave me such conviction. She used to laugh about it. She says, that thing is so long, every time you take a step, it spark on the ground. Amen. Big one. Oh, yeah. Now, here's the whole problem, okay? Was that head of my home? Come on, say yes. Was that the head of my home? Did I have the right to do that? Yes, I have the right to do that. Should I have done that? No. All you girls said no. All you guys said yeah. Did that? Been there, done that? Yeah. We all. But the problem, here's the whole problem with it, you know, for the next, after I went into Shields and got it and hit it, for the next 3 months, I couldn't stand myself. Because my wife and I were so transparent. Everything we did, we always told each other. And, you know, we're just back and forth. And, you know, we don't keep things from each other. And it was just killing me. You say, what's the answer? I don't know. I'm still having a hard time with that one. But in life, life is full of this junk. This stuff that, you know, maybe I bought it because I felt I deserved having that. Maybe I felt that, you know, life wasn't treating me like it could have been treating me. Say, what did Marcia say? Oh, that's nice. Never say anything more. I'm one lucky dude, man. She could have ate me right there. And she could have told me everything that was wrong about me. But she didn't. I know she thought it, but she didn't. Amen. It's a part of our life that we have as a Christian that we should walk in newness of life that we should be very careful. Boy, you know, I don't feel very good to have to confess to you all about that. But, you know, deep down inside, it was a tough time in my life. She had no idea. You know what? In a Christian life, there are some things that we do that we should not do. Therefore, what does Satan do and use on us? He pressures us and pressures us and pressures us and pressures us and pressures us to do things that we shouldn't do. How many believe that? How many don't believe that? Raise your hand. That Satan does not pressure you. Some of you just don't have arms, I guess. Okay. He pressures us and pressures us and pressures us to do things that is wrong, and we know it's wrong. Finally, we give up. Or give in, may I say. And we do something that's, or say something that we shouldn't do. Or say. Immediately when we do that, what happens? He's back in your face and says, yeah, that's what you said. You said you're a Christian and now look what you're acting like. How many know that's the truth? So wouldn't it be better not to allow him to get us to do bad and say no, than when we do, we're going to eat it. And then he's going to use that again and again. And he'll just keep bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up. The worst thing you do in a marriage is when someone, quote unquote, makes a mistake or someone, you know, it's not an accident. They did it. They had forethought about doing it. They should have not done it. And the Bible says there's no temptation, you know, that he will not give you a way of an escape. And you literally do it. You walk right in and do it. For the quote unquote the innocent partner to keep bringing that up and bringing that up and bringing that up. Well, look what you did here. Well, look what you did. In the next fight, it comes up. She has forgiven you, but the next fight, she brings that up in your face. And the next fight, she brings that up. Next fight, she brings that up. Next fight, she brings it up. That's not godly. Godly is forgiving and forgetting and getting on with life. And it's very difficult to do. Very few people can do it. So the best thing is don't do it in the first place. You've got ammunition for the next battle. Christians, listen. Isaiah 40, verse 31, God gives the Christian four promises. He says this. Number one, I will renew your strength. He says, I will let you mount up with wings as eagles. He said, I will allow you to run and not be weary. And I will allow you to walk and not faint. God help us to be Bible Christians. God help Heritage Baptist Church to be called the people of the book. Well, what do you think about that? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Answer man questions with the Word of God. It's sharp. Sharper than a two-edged sword. It's powerful. Answer a person's questions with the Word of God. There are a lot of things in life that we should not have to wonder about because it's already written down here. But few people have ever picked up this book and read this book. Few people in this world have an answer to the world's questions. Why don't I do that? Why don't you do that? I hear this all the time. Man, you Baptists, you're at church all the time. I said, yeah, we just don't get it like you Methodists do. Man, you get it on Sunday morning, you're done. Gone all week. But you Baptists, Sunday morning, Saturday night, Wednesday night, evangelistic meetings, missionary meetings, Bible conference, good night, you're there all the time. I hear a lot of young Christians, parents will say, what is that, a cult? You're at that church all the time. It'd be better to be here than with your wicked worldly friends. It'd be better here to hear what the Bible says so that you got a chance of living for God. Amen? Yeah, we come together a lot. In fact, we're not like the Jerusalem church who met daily. Daily. They met daily. Breaking the bread. Reading the scriptures. Praying. Time. Daily. So, well, I'd rather go to Heritage Baptist Church then. Amen. Daily. Hey, listen, folks. Walk with God. We're just trying to allow people to see what a Christian should look like and should act like. And we should be the light of the world. That's our responsibility. I wish I could just stop right now. And I will, but just ask you, what did you get out of that? You know, sometimes I just wish I could just say, okay, what did you get out of this? What did you? When I talk to somebody alone, I say, okay, tell me what I just told you. I had a guy the other day, and he was talking to me, and I rattled off his thing. I said, okay, now, tell me what I just told you. Where can you, you know, and everybody's always got these, look, well, do good. Pray. Read your Bible. No. What specifically thing are you going to walk out of Heritage Baptist Church with tonight and say, you know what, this is what preacher taught me. This is what I got from that. What'd you get from this? Everybody hears a preacher differently because you come from different backgrounds, different cultures. Everybody gets something different. Some have been in Christianity for a long time. Others just new Christians. What did you pick up from that? How are you going to live a godly life tomorrow? How are you going to, even tonight? How are you going to act when you go home? How are you going to act when you go over and have a baked potato? It's all about living, isn't it? So if I ask you the question tonight, what did you get from this 40 minutes of preaching? What would your answer be? Anybody got an answer? Say, well, I don't want to say nothing because it may be dumb. No, no, it's not dumb. Yes?
Answer with the Bible.
Answer with the Bible. Who else? You say, but people think I'm done. No, I don't think you're done. Yes?
Who do you yield to?
Who do you yield to?
And, our most important
if you take that home, I am happy. I'm happy about that. Yes?
God never intended man to be in
the dark concerning his spiritual condition. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't let these women talk. Come on, guys. What'd you get out of this thing? Yes, sir. That's good. That's good. I'm going to apply that to my life tonight. Yes. Anybody else? Yes.
Live a godly life so you're above reproach.
Live a godly life.
So you're above reproach.
Live an approach. Yes.
We should be holy.
We should be holy. Yes. Yeah, it would have been a happier day if I would have told that woman I was going to get that gun and let her fuss about it, and then I could explain to her how important that gun was. Personal protection, you know. An investment, make more money, someday sell it, you know. Yeah, anybody else? That is kind of funny, isn't it? What else do you hear? What else? Huh? Live on the righteous side. Anybody else? Yes. What's that? If you're going to say you're a Christian, then live like a Christian. That's good. Yes, sir, John.
Live right, do right, be right.
Live right, do right, be right. What's God promises? Give us strength. Huh? Yeah. Anything else? You're on the spot, buddy.
We don't always get to choose what we do because
That's good.
Be right, but we got to do what the Bible says.
That's right. We don't always choose. There are certain things come in our life that we do not choose to do. But once we choose, once we know that that's what we're going to, that we know the area we got to go, let's be the best in it. That's all I want you to do. You say, I know God called me to be a preacher, but I'm not a preacher. Then what did God call you to do? He called me to be a cop. He called me to be in the military. He called me to be a janitor. He called me, hey, do the best you can. Something else I wish you would have caught tonight. Yes, did he?
Can't control other people.
Can't control other people. You take that one and put that one in the bank, buddy. Yes, Nancy? Right. There's some things that God puts you in a place and you think that you got, this is what you're going to do, and it never pans out. Don't get upset with that. Trust God in the thing. Living God's perfect will is a day at a time. Every day. Something come into my heart, come into my life every day, and I have to make a choice. Is it a right choice or a wrong choice? Does God want me to know His perfect will? Absolutely. He tells us so. If He tells us, we know we're supposed to know what we're supposed to. Yes, sir.
A couple of things. It doesn't matter who's in Congress or the President, because the Bible says that the God has it over the king's heart and turns it to what he wants to.
That's great.
Second thing, that answer every man with the Bible, third thing about raising children, that they have no personal space that you are responsible for.
Oh, boy. Hey, don't forget that. If you got problems in your home, that's your responsibility. You got to root it out. You got to be there. You got to make sure those kids and you got to make sure those girls and boys are not alone together. You got to protect them. You people in the military, you go home for a month. You're around your family. You let your kids be with some of the aunts or the uncles that do not have. That do not have the spiritual wisdom that you have, and before you know it, your kids can get in a lot of trouble, and you don't even know it. And that family really doesn't, they don't see the problem in it. Yeah, you always bring your kids to church. Eh? Why didn't they go to our church? Well, we don't want to go to your church. We don't want to hear your rock and roll music. We don't want to hear your Saturday Night Live junk from the pulpit. Hey, it is our responsibility to be very careful with our children. Anybody else?
Grace is not an excuse for sin.
Huh?
Grace is not an excuse for
sin. Grace is not an excuse to sin. Oh, we're people of grace. Well, then why are you sinning? Well, I have liberty. Where do you find that? We just read it. Romans chapter 6, 1. No. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid that we live any longer therein. All right. Anybody else want to say anything? You had your chance. Don't say you never had your chance to say something. I'd really like to dig your brains on some of this stuff to see what, hey, you know, there's some stuff in this world that keeps putting out to us. We're constantly bombarded by it. How do I protect myself? I get this eye gate stuff. I get the ear gate stuff. I hear it. You know, it's constantly on me. Constantly, constantly, constantly on me. How do I live unspotted in this blood-splattered world? How do I do that? Anybody got an answer for it? How do you do that? How do you get through that thing? Huh?
With God's help.
Only with God's help. Only the Spirit of God. One day at a time. There's one guy who's raising his hand. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go over and get the potatoes. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. God, I don't want to waste these people's time, but Lord God, you've put me here as their pastor. Lord, I want to protect them. I want to give them something to live by. Oh God, I beg you tonight that you'd be with their moms and dads that have this great responsibility of these little jewels that you've given in their home. These precious jewels. God, help them to realize how important it is to be so careful how they raise them. Lord, help them find people that love the Lord and who raise some good kids. And they'd talk to them and they'd find in the Word of God how to live for Jesus. Lord, bless this time. Thank you for the food we're about to partake. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for our church. Dear God, help us to be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to sign up for the Thanksgiving supper and the things back there. Don't forget to invite your friends. And don't forget to be here at 6:30 for 7 o'clock for ladies' meeting on Tuesday.